how great thou art. Whew. That's enough right there. I don't know about you, but that causes me to worship right there. When we just think how great he is. Unbelievable. Frenchie, pray, brother, before we start. Frenchie. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. The title of the message is kind of interesting. I debated over all kinds of titles for this one. And I just settled on John 3:16. Enough said. I don't know how else would you describe the message of just saying it is John 3:16. One of my most favorite verses. I hope it's one of your most favorite verses. I mean, we see it all the time. We see, I know when Tim Tebow was playing football, and he would wear the black under his eyes, and he wrote John 3:16 on it. And I remember America was, what does that mean? What does that mean? What does that mean? You got John 3:16 right here. What does it mean? Sad commentary on who we are as people. They didn't know what John 3:16 meant. Or you see the signs at sporting events or other events and some guy's holding it up. John 3:16. Yeah. Good stuff. Good stuff. I would hope that this would be at least one verse of that all of us in this room at least have memorized or know or something. Because it is a biggie. It is a biggie. And as I was thinking about the verse and the message and everything, it just dawned on me, at least. I don't know about you, but me. This really is and could be the greatest Thanksgiving verse in the Bible. And I've never heard it preached around Thanksgiving time. But if you just think about it, what a great Thanksgiving message it is as we look at this. Because you see, without John 3:16, without us accepting John 3:16 and believing it and trusting it and having faith in it, we would be like it says in 1 Corinthians, we would be people that are to be most pitied. Because without John 3:16 and accepting John 3:16, we are a people that have no hope for an eternity. To me, this is one of the biggies that we have. So let's look at and remind you what John 3:16 says, because we're going to look at that big time today. You got that, Dirt? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. That, my friends, is the gospel. For God so loved the world. Think about that. And believe it or not, that is a new concept. Did you know that? You see, when John was writing this, the Jews believed that they were God's chosen people, that God only loved them, and God hated everybody else. You're looking at just 2,000 years ago, this concept. They could not get over the fact that God loved anybody except themselves. They could not get over the fact that God loved the immoral. God loved the prostitute. God loved the alcoholic. God loved the druggie. God loved the murderer. God loves everyone. And the Jews couldn't get past that. But you see, if you just read your word, the Bible tells us we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We read the word that as people, as Christians, even though we are born again believers, we have a nature that runs toward sin. And we all have it. We acquired that from our great, 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 whoa, way to back, Adam and Eve. The Bible tells us we received their sinful nature. And every person on the face of the earth has this sinful nature. As a matter of fact, the Bible says in Jeremiah 17:9, it says this, "The heart is more deceitful than all else and desperately sick." Who can understand it? The heart is desperately sick and needs help. Romans 3:10-12 says it this way, that we're all sinners. "There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become useless. There is none who does good. There is not even one." We are all sinners at one point in our life because we have fallen short of God's perfection for us. And yet we know that God loves every man, every woman, every child. God loves those who doesn't even love Him. Did you know that? I mean, we struggle with that as humans, don't we? We can't really love people that are against us. Well, we can, but we struggle with that. God loves even those who are against Him. He loves the unloving. Did you know that? He loves the unbeliever who's never accepted Him. He loves the obstinate person. He loves the selfish and the greedy person. He loves the atheist. He loves those who are bent towards evil and wickedness. He loves the Judases of the world. He loves those who even have rejected His Son. God even loves them. And I'm here to tell you, that should be a good thing. That fact alone ought to bring up a welling of thanksgiving in your heart. And you go, "Well, Don, why should that be such a big deal?" Because at one time in your life and in my life, we fell under one of those kinds of categories. We too were unbelievers. We too were unloving. We too had broken God's commandments. We too had sinned. We too were in the far country, if you would. And yet God still loves those who have rejected Him. You were there, I was there, we're all there. And God continued to pursue us. Why would He even do that? Why would God continue to come after us? Well, because God is love. If you look at 1 John 4, verses 8 and 16, it has these words. God is love. God is love. It's His very essence. It's His very character, who He is. It describes Him to a T. God is love. God's love is very personal. Did you know that? God loves you even though He knows the good, the bad, and the ugly about you. And He still has this unconditional love that he wants to send to you, if you would. God's love has no beginning, has no ending. God's love is eternal, will last forever. That, my friends, is reason to be thankful this summer and this winter and this fall and this spring. That God loves us no matter what. And He knows us, and He knows us well. And He said, "I still love you. I still want you to be my children. Still, come on." God loves us. He gave us His only begotten Son. What a great thing. What a great thing that he gave us his only begotten son. He gave, number one, to the world his son. If you just think about that. Jesus living in perfection in heaven. Living under power and authority and majesty and glory and honor and praise. And there he is in heaven, and all of this is him, and he has not had to deal with sin or wickedness or anything. And yet the Father says, I'm sending you down to this sin-sick world where you will encounter wicked people. You will encounter bitter people. You will encounter sin and death and ugliness and all that kind of stuff. And I'm sending you there so that you might save your people from their sins. I'm so glad that he sent his begotten son to this world as he left the throne of glory to come to walk on this evil, evil world. He also sent his son to die on a cross. That's another thank you, Father, that you sent your son to die on a cross. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says it this way. I love this. He made him who knew no sin to become sin on our behalf. And why would he do that? So that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So that we might become right with him. So that we might be able to come and spend eternity with him. So that he might come and save us from our sins and forgive us of our sins and the penalty of our sins. So that we might have the righteousness of God through him. That is why he came and became sin, even though he knew no sin. 1 Peter 3:18, for Christ also died for sins once and for all, one time sacrifice. And who did he die for? The just and the unjust. So that he might bring us to God, having been put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit. So that he might bring us to God. Aren't you thankful that God, that Jesus left his home in glory to come down to this old world? Aren't you thankful that he willingly went to the cross to demonstrate his love for us so that we might achieve the righteousness or to be right with the Father? That is something to be thankful for today, tomorrow, and every day. And I hope as we go through this that it is giving you a picture of to be thankful for what God did through his son Jesus that we so do not deserve. You know, one of the beautiful aspects of salvation and what Christ did and the love that he has for us is that he took the initiative to pursue us. Did you know that? Man does not seek after God, but God seeks and continues to seek after wayward people. That's a beautiful thing. There's a parable in Luke 15 that we looked at Wednesday night. And it's the parable of the lost sheep. And the parable of the lost sheep says that the shepherd had a hundred sheep. But he said one of them wandered away from the herd. Wandered away into the wilderness. And the Bible says he secured the 99, got them where they were in a good, safe place. And it says the shepherd went out looking for that one. The one that had wandered off. The one that was in the desert, in the wilderness. And it talks about the shepherd looking and looking and looking and couldn't find the sheep. But he kept looking and he kept pursuing and he kept seeking, finding, looking for this one. This one, he's got 99. But he kept looking for this one. And the Bible says he finally found this one and he picked the little sheep up and put him on his shoulders and he probably did a little dance of rejoicing. And the Bible says he went home and he told his friends and he told his family, look what I found. Look who I found. I found the one that was lost, but now he's found. That parable has nothing to do with sheep. That parable has everything to do with people. 99 were in the boat. 99 have been saved. 99 were good to go, but there was one. And the shepherd, Jesus, went looking for that one, pursued that one, never gave up on that one, continued to look for him, where it had been so easy just to go back and just celebrate the 99. But he never quit. He kept plugging, and he finally found the lost one and brought him back, and they rejoiced. Mom, dad, grandma, grandpa, great-great-grandma, however you want to, whatever category you fall into, let me tell you something. When you've got one that's in the wilderness of life, and they are not part of the 99 of the saved, but they are out lost, needing Christ in their life, and they're out in the wilderness and they're doing all kind of stuff that they shouldn't be doing, guess what? Keep praying for them. Keep knocking on the throne room of grace with that person's name every day. Keep doing it. Keep doing it. You might have to do it 10 days, 10 months, 10 years. You might have to do it 50. I don't know God's time frame. But if Christ would not give up on the one that's lost, why should you? Never give up on them. Never give up on that wayward child. Never give up on that one who's wandered away. Why? Because Christ didn't. He didn't give up on you, did he? When you were away from him? No. He took the initiative to keep pursuing you. Born again believer, mom, dad, grandpa, however you are, continue to pursue that lost one in prayer. Keep faithful, knowing that God has heard your prayer, and one day he will answer that prayer. I hope that you believe that. I remember hearing a story about a guy named George Mueller. George Mueller was a huge prayer warrior. I mean, this guy prayed. I mean, he had indentions at the foot of his bed where he knelt for years and years and years, and you could see where his knees had penetrated the carpet. And he had prayed for these two people for over 50 years, over 50 years. And they still had never come to the Lord. But he faithfully prayed, faithfully prayed. The week before George Mueller died, one of them received Christ as his Lord and Savior, one of them. And now the other one, he's just got one now that he's praying for. George Mueller died, and the guy has not been saved. But at his funeral, George Mueller's funeral, they tell us that he was so overcome with emotion and conviction that the one he'd been praying for over 50 years gave his heart and life to Christ. You see, there's no time limit on your prayers. There's no time limit on what God can do. And the week that he died at the funeral, the last one that he'd been praying for got saved. Keep praying. Keep going. Keep petitioning. Keep knocking on the door of heaven. Because one of these days, he's going to answer that prayer, I promise you. How do I know that? The Bible tells me that, okay? That's all I need. You know, God is not angry at you. He's not mad at you. God loves you. God is not unloving towards you, but he loves you. God is not unforgiving towards you, but he's very patient with those who are believers. He's very patient for those who are not believers. And I'm so thankful for that, aren't you? 2 Peter 3:9 says this: the Lord is not slow about his promises, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wanting any to perish, but all come to repentance. He is patient towards you. He was patient before you were saved. If you've never been saved, he's not mad. He's not angry at you. He is being patient with you, giving you time, okay? Because he does not want you to perish. He wants you to come to repentance so that you can live with him forever and forever and forever. We're going to talk about that in just a second. Isn't that beautiful? I think you could just go, you know, thank you, Father, for never giving up on me. Thank you, Father, for not giving up on me. Thank you, Father, for trusting in me to do what you've called me to do. That's a thank you. That's a big thank you. That whosoever believes in him. Well, what does that mean? Whosoever believes in him. I mean, we all have a little bit of knowledge, don't we? I mean, we all kind of know that, and hopefully we do, that Jesus is God in the flesh that came down to live on this earth. Okay, he is God. I think we know that he died, and because he died on the cross, he willingly paid our sin debt. I think we know that we probably heard it enough that through Jesus, he is the only way for any of us to ever be able to step through heaven's gates. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. And we've heard that verse in here. We know it. But for salvation, there's more than just the knowledge. Did you know that? There's more than just knowledge of something. The Bible says even the devils know something about God. You see, biblical faith comes from a faith and a trust in an action upon our part in order to receive him as our Lord and our Savior. We can't just have knowledge. We got to do something about that knowledge. To illustrate that, I read a story about a guy that was really poor. He's really poor, okay? And he had some relative a long way away die. Hadn't seen the guy in years. But the guy in his will left this poor guy millions of dollars. Millions of dollars. The attorney sent the letter to this poor man, and he read it, and he goes, I don't know about that. I don't know about that. I don't believe it. Wadded it up, threw it in the trash can. Okay? Didn't believe it. Was he still rich? No, because he never acted upon the wealth that was there waiting on him. Okay? And you see, that is a picture of people today. Did you know that? That we have a Savior who died a long time ago. And he, in his inheritance, he has left his inheritance to us. And his inheritance is salvation and heaven and all that means. But instead, we know it, but instead, what do we have to do? We have to accept that. We have to accept the fact that he left that to us. We got to accept the fact that he is Lord and Savior. And until we accept that and put our faith in that and trust in that and walk in that, we are just like the poor man who just crumpled up the papers and said, I don't believe that anymore. I don't believe that I'll be rich anymore. You see, you have to accept what God has made available to us. And aren't you glad that we can do that? That whosoever believes is for all of us. And all we have to do is put our faith and trust in him and move past just a knowledge, but make it a heartfelt thing that we make him not just Savior, but we make him Lord in our life. He's got to be Lord before he can ever be Savior. I'm so glad that we can do that. Thank you, Father, for that. Thank you, the gift of salvation that you've given to us. The next part of that is, and you shall not perish when you do that. You shall not perish. Boy, that's not a very nice word, perish, is it? I wish you'd left that one out. Okay? Perish is to lose. Perish is to be lost. Perish is to die eternally. Perish means to be spiritually deprived, if you would. To perish means you're living a life on your own. You're living a life with no purpose, no meaning, no significance. You're living a life where you have no peace with God or peace of God. You're living a life where you have no hope. You mean, this is all there is? I live a few years, I get buried, I go to dust, and that's it? And see, when you don't have the Savior with you, you have no hope for an eternity. perish means that you're going to die, physically and spiritually. To perish means that you will face God's judgment, His condemnation, and His wrath for eternity. Perish means that you'll be separated from holy God from ever and forever and forever. And you'll be separated from your Christian spouse, Christian friends, Christian family members. You'll never be able to see them ever again because you're separated, because you are perishing. You will also experience fire and brimstone. You experience the pain, the agony, the torture, where the Bible says a worm never dies and there's no back door from hell. And the beautiful thing is that verse says you're not going to be perishing. You shall not perish. Nobody wants to do that. Nobody ain't got time for that. But you have to understand, if you don't put your faith in Jesus Christ, that is your destination out there. And that's for an eternity. And when you get there, you go, whoa, time out. I need out of here. Where's the back door? Jesus said, once you take your last breath here on this earth, you're done. You've made your choice. And the Bible says, you believe on the Son of God, you shall not perish. That's good news. That's a thank you. At least in my book it is. You're all going to escape that if you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. You shall not perish, but what's the last part of that verse say? You shall have eternal life. You have eternal life. The Bible tells us, Romans 6:23, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, His Son. Eternal life. What a gift that is. You know when eternal life starts? When you first make Jesus your Lord and Savior here on this earth. The Bible tells us your eternity clock has just been kicked in, okay? That's when eternity starts. And what a great thing eternity is going to be. Because you're going to be in a place one day where the Bible says He will wipe away every tear from your eye. There'll be no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying, no more pain. I don't know about you, but that's good stuff, okay? That's eternity. Eternity is you'll no longer be tempted to sin. You'll no longer have to sit there and decide, do I want to do that or not? Well, I know I'm not supposed to, but I got to, I want it. You're not going to have any of that ever again. You will be in the very physical presence of Holy God. And you'll be walking the streets of heaven, bumping into Jesus as He walks around His heavenly domain. What a great thing that will be. You'll have a new, glorious, perfected body. Whatever that might look like. It'll look like Jesus, you know. I won't be this ugly when I get to heaven. I'll be better looking, I hope. Okay? And hopefully some of you will have the same thing. Mike, I don't know about you, but perfect body. No more wheelchairs, no more canes, no more blindness, none of that. How cool is that? That's pretty cool to me. You will see things that you have never experienced in your life. The beauty, the Bible said we can't even imagine the beauty that's going to be waiting for us in our eternal home. Wow. We'll be in the very presence of Holy God, where we will worship Him, and we'll praise Him, and we truly will be thankful to Him. Because without Jesus, we would never be there. The Bible says every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. Yeah, yeah. And I can't imagine when I get to heaven. I don't know what that's going to be like. I don't know if I'm going to fall down and worship Him. I don't know if I'm going to dance the two-step. I don't know if I'm going to run and just hug Him. But I will know without a shadow of doubt I am in heaven because of what He did on that cross just for me. And when I accepted Him as my Lord and Savior, my eternal clock began to tick. What a blessing that will be. I don't know about you, but that is something to be very thankful for. And I'd sure tell Him about that. How do I get to have that eternal home in heaven? Well, that verse just tells you, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. Okay? Just believe on Him. Very simple, not rocket science. Just believe on Him. And in closing, I just want to encourage you this Thanksgiving season, okay, to be thankful. To be thankful that God sent His only begotten Son to this old world so that He might save His people from their sin. I am so thankful for salvation. Salvation. You ever thank Him for your salvation? I hope so. Today would be a good day to do that. Thank you, Father, for saving my soul. Father, I just want to thank You for my eternal destination, my eternal home. I want to thank You for that, Father. And Father, I pray You'll just help me to live a life that brings You glory and honor. That other people will know that I am a child of Yours. And that, Father, help me to bring other people with me. Have them tag along with me, Father, because I've told them the good news of the gospel. Thank You for eternal life, Father. Father, thank You for loving me when I did not deserve it. Thank You, Father, for pursuing me when I was lost in the wilderness, bound for hell. But You still pursued me and wanted me and was patient with me. And You showed me what I needed to do to be right with You. Thank You, Father, for doing that for me. Father, thank You for forgiving me of my sins, cleansing me from all unrighteousness. Thank You for putting my sins as far as the east is from the west. Ah, man. You see, we got a lot to be thankful for this Thanksgiving season. And you know, it's okay to be thankful for material blessings and those kinds of things and family. And those are all great, and we need to thank Him for that. But I would urge you and encourage you, what's more important than the family and the blessings and material, all kind of stuff? To me, the most important thing you can thank Him for is because He loved you enough to die on a cross, and He pursued you hard enough that you gave your heart and life to Him. Because ultimately, this old world's going to pass away, isn't it? This old world, the things that we got will rot and wear out, rust away. But our eternity is forever and forever. That, my friend, is something to really be thankful for this season. Are you thankful? Have you ever thought about that? Thankful for salvation? Has God demonstrated His love for you that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us? Have you ever thought it? Thanked Him for that? Thanked Him for forgiving you of all your past sins, your present sins, and everything you're going to screw up later on down the road. You need to thank Him for it. Because He, Jesus, paid the ultimate price for you and for me. I can't imagine what He went through on that cross before He ever got to the cross. I wonder if He was thinking about heaven as He was laying on that cross. Perfection of heaven. I don't think He was. I don't think He was. Because I think when he was hanging on that cross, and when they were beating on Him and making fun of Him and all kind of different things that weren't very nice, you know what I think He was thinking of? He was thinking about you and me. And He's doing this for you and for me. Thank You, Jesus, for that. Thank You. Thank You. Thank You. As we bow our heads and close our eyes, the piano plays. If you don't know Jesus, if you never give your heart and life to Him, I would urge you to do it today. We are not promised tomorrow. We don't know what tomorrow holds. I would do it today. Salvation comes today. Do it today. It'll be the easiest thing you've ever done in your life to give your heart and life to Christ. Do it today. It'll get a little harder tomorrow than the next day. Do it now. Swallow your pride. Come to Jesus. Let Him save you for your sins. If you've done that, pray for those who haven't, but also develop an attitude of gratitude. Thank Him for all that He did, making you right with Him. And this Thanksgiving season, I pray that we will be doing that daily, reminding as He reminds us, and we thank Him for salvation and eternity and loving us and forgiving us. As the piano plays, you do business with the Lord, and I'll be quiet. This is your time. Your time to shine. Talk to Him today if you would. Oh, I need you, Father. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you.